I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words are found in your bulletin or on the screen. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. The Pew Bible page is 1477. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Our second scripture comes to us from the Gospel according to John, from the 13th chapter, 34 and 35. For this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we draw ever closer to that memorable birth of the gift of love, your Son, Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. As we reflect on this theme of love, we hear Jesus' commandment to love one another. And the epistle reminds us that it is what others will know us by. So as we claim these words for ourselves this day, open our hearts and our spirits and our minds to reflect upon what you are asking of us today and always. And may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this journey through Advent has been focusing on reels or movie themes based on the four themes of the Advent wreath, right? I admitted last week that I got the first 2 weeks mixed up. It ought to be hope, peace, joy and love. I did peace, hope, joy and love. But at the end, we end up in the same place, right? So maybe the order is a little wonky. However, we're still getting to where we need to be, and there are still opportunities for us to grow. And so we began with this theme of peace and dug into It's a Wonderful Life, of thinking about, reflecting on what would his life have been like had he not ever been born, right? And then he comes to the realization that he is rich indeed because of the love that is shown to him by all of those that he had cared for every step of the way. And then we dug into the word of hope and the miracle of 34th Street, that sometimes we put parameters on what we expect life to look like, and we cut out the nonsense and discount the magic or the mystery or the surprises that life can hold. And when Santa Claus is put on trial to prove his identity, it does lead to changes of hearts and realization that maybe our very boxed ways of understanding things are far more expansive because of the nature of God. And last week, we reflected on joy, and the movie was Elf. And in talking with Lori, she's like, it's my absolute favorite movie. And she's like, there are so many places or scenes that you could have chosen, and I really love the one that you did, because it was the joy of experiencing things new And what would be mundane things to the rest of us were new experiences for Buddy the Elf, and just the delight that he experienced. And for us, that sometimes we can embody and hope for that same joy when we shift our perspective to one of openness, or that of like childlike faith. That if, you know, and oftentimes I see this like with small children, that being with them, I get to experience things anew and fresh ways through their eyes and their experiences. And that truly is a delightful gift. And today I'm sitting here looking at this candle that you may not know is actually lit, but it is stubborn. 2 weeks ago, the Buchanan family did our Advent candle lighting and said, light that one because that one needs to burn down. And we tried and we tried and we tried. Or was that last week? I can't remember. But it refused to light. So we lit a different one, right? And you may have seen me, I was practicing this morning of trying to light it. I'm like, I got it to light, yes! And then Karen came up and couldn't get it to light, and we had to pull out the blowtorch to get it to light, which I think is probably pretty indicative sometimes on the nature of love and where we find ourselves, right? And so this week I did choose A Christmas Carol. And if any of you are familiar with the story, it's written by Charles Dickens. And the idea is there's Ebenezer Scrooge, who in his life really embodies a curmudgeon in a lot of ways, does not exemplify care and concern for humanity or those around him. And his primary focus is that hard-earned dollar, right? And then he gets a warning from his previous business partners that are both in shackle and chains, and says, you're going to be visited by three spirits, right? The spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmas future. And through the course, you know, we're familiar with the story that Ebenezer, in seeing these moments from his past, present, and future, really does have a change of heart. And we see the transformative power of that. So as I was choosing which version, I will be quite honest with you, I grew up with Bill Murray's Scrooged version, which was highly inappropriate for church setting. So I chose the Muppet Christmas Carol instead. And the scene that I've chosen for you is actually while he is being visited by the spirit of Christmas past. And this is when he connects and sees a moment from his adulthood.
Another year before our wedding, Ebenezer.
Well, it can't be helped, Belle. How could we marry now? There's not even enough for a decent home. The investments haven't grown as they should.
So you said last year.
Business continues to be poor.
You're a partner in your own firm now.
Barely clearing expenses.
You said the partnership was the goal.
This is for you. I love you, Belle.
You did once.
Oh, here's Al.
Spirit, show me no more. Why do you delight in torturing me?
I told you, these were the shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are, do not blame me.
Leave me.
I watched this movie last weekend. I've been watching all the movies in their full length in order to prepare for Sunday. And what you don't see is there's actually a deleted scene, an extra, a bonus feature, which is the beautiful young lady that Ebenezer falls in love with, having met her at Fuzzywig's Christmas party. And there is a scene where she sings with the older Michael Caine. And it talks about when love gets lost. And it's this very powerful ballad that isn't shown here. And we only get a glimpse of the brokenness there. And what I want to focus in on is the fact that Ebenezer thinks that he is doing what she wants. Well, you know, I'm investing so that we can have a future. I'm investing so that I can buy you this house so that you will have a place for us to claim as home. And she said, but you said that last year. And then she points out another one of his successes. You're a partner in your own firm now, Ebenezer. And he gets up and he said, but I'm doing this for you, right? And he says, I love you. And she responds, and you heard this, and I want to make sure you hear it. You did once. A very painful moment for him to see and witness again, because in his mind, he did love her. But the ways that he was showing his love to her did not truly meet her needs for love at that season in her life. And I think for us, sometimes maybe we experience that too. That the love we think we're offering to someone may not be what they really need or want. Or maybe somebody is showing love to us, but it doesn't truly speak to our hearts because it's not meeting this need for connection and relationship. And as I was thinking about this theme of love, and maybe it's not what we're expecting and it's not what we're receiving, it brings me to the words of others that have said that you have forgotten your first love. And speaking in relationship to God, that there are times, and if we open up scripture from beginning to end, after chapter 3 of Genesis, every single moment that humanity gets it wrong, it's because they have forgotten their first love needs to be God of creation. And the world pulls in different directions, or society or cultures pull in different directions. And all God wants is to be in this relationship with humanity and have it be a mutual relationship of love and care. Humanity has often forgotten its first love. And so we sit in the season of Advent, waiting for God's love to come. For God's love to come again, because we are on the other side. We know that God so loved the world that God sent his only son, Jesus, to be in the world. Jesus was love in the flesh, walked amongst humanity to give them this vision of what a relationship with God can look like. And so we wait. We're reminded, we remember, and we are remembered, clinging to that love that comes first from God. And if we receive that gift of love from God by accepting Christ Jesus, the first Peter epistle and the Gospel of John says that if we've claimed that and we name that, our responsibility is to show it into the world. They will know you by your love. There's that song, they'll know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Ebenezer thought that he was showing love. But it isn't until he's looking in the rearview mirror, hindsight is always 20/20, that he realized that he got it wrong. That he missed out on a beautiful relationship with a beautiful person because his priorities were not what she needed. And in the season of Advent, We can get caught up in the hustle and bustle of all of the things. And it is our time, our moment to come and to be reminded of reprioritization, of reclaiming, renaming our first love. Friends, this is not a rhetorical question. What is to be our first love? God, Jesus, right? And if we claim that to be our first love, then out of that, we are able to love our partners, our friends, our neighbors, those that we have not yet met. So that might be a hard word, and I'm looking and I'm still hoping that that candle of love will shine brighter. And maybe that in and of itself is illustration enough that sometimes humanity gets in our own way. Thank goodness God loved us enough to intercede on our behalf. That even when it's hard, even when we don't know if it's going to shine brighter, that light is still burning. That love from God is still available for each and every one of us. And in a world that is missing that connection, that relationship, we too can be stubborn in showing that love out into the world. So who's with me for being stubborn during the season of Advent and Christmas? Yeah, we're going to show love to everybody, even if they don't want it. Which is exactly what he does on Christmas morning when he's afraid that he's missed it. He stubbornly goes out and flips everything upside down and realizes the beauty of love and how to care for one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.